Anyway, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, I'll show it to you on the screen here in a second, I hope. And we'll be reading verses 9 through 11. A message I've entitled, The Angels of Christmas. The Angels of Christmas, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Please stand with me out of honor to God and His word as I read. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you. May be seated. We are looking at the angels of Christmas. We're probably pretty familiar with the angels of Christmas, the angels that come up in the Christmas story. But I heard a story about angels. Now, listen, do not nail me on the theology. The theology in this joke is bad. It's bad theology, bad theology. But I think it's funny. So anyway, there's this guy, he passes away, and he goes to heaven. He's there at pearly gates, and there's an angel there at the gate checking people in. He gets his name, and he says, you know, I need to find out what you did on earth, you know, to make sure you're worthy to come in. And so the angel says to the man, did you ever go to church? The man said, no, I never went to church. He said, well, did you read your Bible at least? The guy said, no, I never read my Bible. The angel said, well, did you at least pray before you ate your meals? The guy said, I never prayed in my life. Well, the angel said, you got to help me here if you want to go in. I got to have something worthy that you've done on earth. The guy says, well, there was the time where I saw this motorcycle gang and they were robbing this old woman. And I busted through the gang and I grabbed the purse from the leader of the gang. I handed it to the woman. Then I punched the leader of the gang as hard as I could in the face. And then I looked at the rest of the gang and I said, and each of you is next. Well, the angel starts flipping through his records. He says, well, I don't seem to have that on my records. When did this happen? The guy says, oh, about 5 minutes ago. Let's look at the angels of Christmas. So first of all, by way of introduction, some facts about angels. First of all, angels are created beings. Angels are created beings. And they were all created at once. All at the same time they were created. Because angels don't propagate. You don't get a mommy angel, daddy angel, and have a baby angel. That's not the way it works. In fact, Jesus said that angels are asexual. If you look here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, Jesus speaking about people but referring to angels says this, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage but are as the angels of God in heaven. It's interesting, I think, that angels are popularly portrayed as female. Like when you have a drive-through nativity or something like that or Christmas play, angels are always females, but biblically, all the biblical appearances of angels are male. Why is that? That even though the Bible, we try to be people of the Bible, why is it that the Bible says every time an angel appears, it is as a male, and yet we consistently use women as angels? Well, let me tell you, as a dad raising a son, and he was in lots of Christmas plays growing up, I just didn't want him wearing a white robe with wings fluttering around in church. I didn't want that. And a lot of men out there don't want that either. And so we give that role to the ladies because they look good in white and they look fine with wings. They look fine. Anyway, but biblically speaking, all appearances of angels are male. Angels don't become human, but they can take on human form. They are spiritual beings that can take on a physical form, which is what we see in the Bible. But here's where I hope I'm not dropping a bomb on you like I did a nice lady down in Louisiana. The first time she ever heard me teach on angels, I told her what I'm about to tell you, and it blew her away. It just shattered her whole image of the afterlife. And here it is. Believers do not become angels when we die. A lot of you are nodding your heads. I'm glad to see that. Because the popular belief, and it comes from jokes too, sort of like the joke I just told a minute ago, where when you die, you go to the pearly gates, and if you get in, they give you a cloud assignment, they give you a set of wings, and they give you a harp, and that's where you spend eternity. There is no truth to that whatsoever. People do not become angels after they die. Now also, with the exception of cherubs and seraphs, those are special angels don't have wings. And did you know this? Angels never die. Angels never die. Jesus teaching on that here in Luke chapter 20, beginning in verse 34, he says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." So angels never die. So what do angels do? Why do we have angels? Well, angels are to carry out the will of God. They inform his people, they protect his people, they direct his people, and they destroy his enemies. That's what angels do. But you probably know this too, that Satan and demons are also angels. Satan and demons are also angels, but they don't work for God. But even though they don't work for God, God is their creator, God is their controller. They're not equal with God. Some people get in their minds this that Korean thing, you know, the yin and the yang, and the black and the white, and they're equal and they're constantly in conflict. Well, there is constant conflict between God and Satan and the demons. There is that constant conflict, but it's not an equal fight. God is their creator. God is their controller. And for his own purposes, he allows Satan and demons to do the things that they do. In fact, Satan and demons are not just angels, they're called fallen angels. Fallen angels because of what Jesus said about them here in Luke 10:18, where he says, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And so they are fallen angels. So what is their function? They don't work for God. So what is the function of these angels, Satan and demons? Well, they oppose the work of God and they oppose the people of God. That's what they do. They oppose the work of God, and they oppose the people of God. Look what Paul writes here in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He was wanting to go see those folks in Thessalonians, these believers. He wanted to preach to them and encourage them. He wanted them to encourage him, have a great time of fellowship. He says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, I, even Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." He said, "I tried over and over to come see you guys. It would have been great." He didn't say the weather got in the way. I couldn't get a ride. He said, "Satan hindered this time of fellowship." And so that's what Satan and demons do. They oppose the work of God and they oppose the people of God. Something else about angels, and that is that the word angel, both in Hebrew or Greek, so if whether you're reading the Old Testament or you're reading the New Testament, you see the word angel, they both mean the same thing. They mean messenger. That's what the word angel means, messenger. And sometimes it's a human messenger, and sometimes it's a heavenly messenger. And you don't know just by reading. You've got to look at the whole context and figure it out. Is this a divine messenger? Is this an earthly messenger? And sometimes it's really tricky to figure out which is which. There are these human angels, human messengers, like the preachers in the book of Revelation. If you ever read the book of Revelation, it's seven letters to the seven angels of the churches in Revelation. Well, it's nice to think that God, for every church, he has an angel that watches over the church, but that's not the case. The angel is the pastor there. The angel is the messenger. And so those seven letters are written to the pastor, the messenger from the church, and he is supposed to then take that message to his church. That's an example of a human angel. But how about a heavenly angel? Well, typically when you see them appear in Scripture, they usually break unusual, hard to believe news. When God sends an angel, these are special agents. When God sends an angel, he is going to deliver a message that is quite unusual and may even be very difficult to believe. For instance, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but how Elizabeth would conceive in her old age. Elizabeth was well beyond childbirthing years, and so an angel comes and delivers the message that she will have a baby. Now, that's an unusual message, and that's hard to believe. And so God dispatches an angel for that. Likewise, Mary gets a visit from an angel. And the angel has some very unusual and some very hard to believe news for her. "Mary, even though you've never been with a man, you're going to have a baby." That's unusual. That's hard to believe. I would hate to be Mary's dad when she goes and explains this to him. He would want to believe her. I mean, she was always so good and always obedient and always helped out around the house. And now this? Really, Mary? In fact, in the movie tonight, you will see, if you come to see, you will see how Mary tries to explain to her dad, and he is listening to none of that because he knows how biology works. What about on Easter when the angel announces that Jesus is risen? Is that unusual news? Yeah. Is that hard to believe news? Yeah, it is. And so God dispatches an angel. God dispatches a special agent. I've got some unusual, hard to believe news. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Angels are amazing. They are to be heeded, but they're never to be worshipped. Oh, they might be impressive in their appearance. They might be impressive in their knowledge. But though they are impressive, they must never be worshipped. In fact, John warns us of that here in Revelation 22, beginning in verse 8. Notice what he says. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do it not, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Instead, worship God. And you know, we never know when we might be encountering an angel. You and I never know as we're going about our daily life when we might actually bump into an angel. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of that in Hebrews 13:2. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember, they don't show up in white shining wings and all of that. That's only a church. They show up as normal looking men. Who knows if you and I have encountered angels throughout our lives? Who knows if we will encounter angels throughout our lives? But be careful. Satan's an angel too, and he often appears in disguise. Look what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Just know this, that one of God's angels would never contradict God. If you do happen to bump into an angel, and you're not going to realize it, but if you do happen to bump into an angel, just realize you're dealing with one of God's angels as long as he never contradicts what God has already said in his word. If he starts talking all kind of other stuff, even if he's an angel, he's from the wrong team, and you need to just move on. So that's just a little bit about angels. So let's look at the Christmas angels. We want to talk about Christmas, right? So let's get to the Christmas angels. First of all, I want us to look at Zechariah's angel. Now, we learn about Zechariah's angel in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now, Zechariah was a great guy, but he had some problems. One of his problems was he was old. Now, there's nothing wrong with being old, okay? Nothing wrong at all with being old. However, he was old. His wife was old. They had never had any children. And that was a problem because the angel brought some unusual, hard-to-believe news, which was, your wife's going to have a baby. Problem was, he's old. And look how old he was. Verse 7 of chapter 1. It says, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. That's old. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he was burning incense in the temple. That was his job. They had different priests had these different times where they would go in. That's what he was doing at the time. And the angel of the Lord appears to him. And this angel has a name. His name is Gabriel. In fact, look at verse 11. It says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And we know who it is. Look over at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. And so we know that Zechariah's angel's name was Gabriel. And I want you to notice, and there's a pattern here. The angels had something encouraging to say to Zechariah. He encouraged him in verse 13. Look at this. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah. Your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. Your prayer is heard. Isn't that encouraging? We pray all the time, don't we? And don't we honestly sometimes think maybe God doesn't hear our prayer? But God does hear our prayers. He heard Zechariah's prayer. He hears your prayers. And so this angel had a message of encouragement. God has heard your prayers. And my friends, God hears and answers our prayers, all of them, not always on our schedule, but always on time. And then the angel had something else with which to encourage Zechariah. He said, not only has God heard your prayers, he said, you're going to have a baby boy. His name's going to be John, and he's going to be great in God's eyes. Look in verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, I've raised three children. Maybe you've raised more. But let me tell you what. This was always, has always been my goal for my children, to be great in God's eyes. If they're wealthy, that's fine. If they're popular and famous, that's fine. But what I've always wanted for them, and what my prayer has always been for them, was they would be great in God's eyes. And I'm sure you Christian parents want the same thing for your children. Oh, sure, you want them to be successful. You want all of that. But more than anything, you want them to please God and to be great in His eyes. So what an encouragement. The angel comes to Zechariah and says, by the way, God hears your prayers. Zechariah's like, yes. And then he says, you're going to have a son. Yes. And he's going to be great in God's eyes. Yes. What an encouraging message. The angel also informed. He not only encouraged, but he informed. Your wife's going to have a son. Now, as you read the story, you find out the process would be natural. But the conception would be supernatural. And he also informed Zechariah that John, his boy, would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Look in verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. And so the angel encouraged him. The angel informed him. And then the angel instructed him. He says, here's what you need to know in verse 13. You are to name him John. Now, one more thing. The angel also punished Zechariah. Look in verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Zechariah didn't believe the angel. I mean, the angel had an encouraging message, a very informational message, a wonderful message. Zechariah did not believe. And so Zechariah was left speechless. Literally, he was left speechless. Why? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6 that God chastens those whom he loves. God loved Zechariah. God loves Zechariah still. But Zechariah didn't believe. Even though God dispatched this special agent, special message, he did not believe. God said, you know what, I don't play like that. He didn't strike him down and kill him, but he chastened him, he punished him, and he left him literally speechless until the baby was born. Well, that's Zechariah's angel. Let's look at Joseph's angel. We learn about Joseph's angel in Matthew. You might want to go to Matthew chapter 1. Now, Joseph's angel doesn't have a name. He's just called the angel of the Lord. We don't know who he is. We assume his name is Gabriel because Zechariah's angel was Gabriel. Mary's angel was Gabriel. We just kind of assume Gabe was out, you know, taking messages that day. But anyway, we don't know actually what Joseph's angel's name was. But he appears in three dreams to Joseph. I guess Joseph slept a lot during the Christmas season because he has three dreams while he's sleeping during Christmas. First of all, in Nazareth, in verse 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the angel shows up. He encourages Joseph. He then informs Joseph, hey, Mary's having a baby boy. And he instructed Joseph, look in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wait a second. So the angel showed up to Zechariah, he encouraged him, he informed him, and he instructed him. Now this angel shows up to Joseph, he encouraged him, he informed him, he instructed him. Well, the angel shows up again in Bethlehem. Look in chapter 2 and verse 13. Talking about the wise men. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Be there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The angel shows up, and he gives instructions. And then he shows up again in Egypt, chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I'm not going to read that. And he gives more instructions. Joseph, you can go home now. Take the child from Egypt, go back to Israel. In each case, Joseph obeyed God's word through the angel. In each case, in Nazareth, in Bethlehem, in Egypt, when the angel appeared to Joseph, Joseph obeyed God's word through the angel. God seeks a people of obedience. And we obey God to our benefit and to His glory. And remember what Jesus said. Our obedience is evidence of our love for Him. He said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Joseph did. So we've seen Zechariah's angel. We've seen Joseph's angel. We're getting a pattern here. There's encouragement. There's instruction. There's information. There's instruction. Let's look at Mary's angel. Mary's angel. We read about this beginning in Luke chapter 1. Now, his name was also Gabriel by name. We learned that right from the text in verse 26. What was his message? Well, first of all, he had a message of encouragement. I'm in Matthew. I need to get over to Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. Sorry. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't that encouraging? God's pleased with you. You're living your life in such a way that God is pleased. So he had this encouraging message for her. God has favored you. He informed her, look in verse 31, he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There's some good information. And the angel instructed her, because she was curious, how is this going to happen? And so verse 35, here's the information she needed. And the angel answered, or angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How did Mary respond? She believed. She believed the message from God through the angel. How do I know? Look in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. I believe you. And that's very different from Zechariah. Zechariah didn't believe. Mary says, you know, I don't understand all this stuff, but I believe. I believe. You see, God desires a people of faith. God desires a people of faith, and God is pleased when we trust in Him. Oh, by the way, there's the angel talking to Mary. I think he's Mormon. But anyway, here's Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Mary believed God. God desires a people of faith, and God is pleased when we trust in Him. So we've seen Zechariah's angel. We've seen Joseph's angel. We've seen Mary's angel. Each case, they encouraged, they informed, they instructed. There's one more, the shepherd's angel. The shepherd's angel, we've got to go back to Luke chapter 2 for this. He's also unnamed. If you look in verse 9 of chapter 2, he doesn't have a name. Might be Gabriel, we don't know. But it says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What did this angel do, though? He encouraged them in verse 10. Look at this. Don't be afraid. I got good news for you. So he encouraged them. He informed them, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There is good information. And then in verse 12, he instructed them, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. These angels keep running through the same pattern in the Christmas story. They encourage, they inform, they instruct. Now, once the angel shared his message with the shepherds, then the skies lit up. Joined by the host of heavens in verse 13 and 14. And of course you know this. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Praising God and announcing peace on earth. As we looked at last week, the shepherds were both obedient and faithful to the message from the angel. They went to find the baby. The angel said, listen, there's going to be this baby. You need to go. And they went faithfully and obediently. The shepherds went to Bethlehem on faith, but they left with facts. Faith led them to the manger. Their experience led them to others, and that's why they became Jesus' first missionaries. Look in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But notice the Christmas angels, whether it's Zechariah's, Joseph's, Mary's, the shepherds, each angel brought good news announcing the birth of a boy. Each angel brought good news announcing the birth of a boy. Now, every birth is good news, boy or girl. Every birth is good news. But these were extra special good news. Because the first one, John, would prepare the way for the Messiah. You see, people back then, under the oppression of the Roman government, they really wanted to get out from under that. They wanted their deliverer to come and to just be a military leader and to just knock some heads and free them. And everybody was on the edge of their seats waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Christ. Same word, different spelling. And now all of a sudden, John, he's the one that's going to be right before. He's the one that's going to make the way for Messiah. And then Jesus would be the Christ. He would be the Messiah. He would be the deliverer. Extra special, good Christmas news. So those are the Christmas angels. It's four of them. But I want to talk about today's angels. Know this, that God still has spiritual ministering angels flying around the throne, walking around on earth. God still has these angels. In fact, the writer of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 1:14, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God still has angels surrounding his throne in heaven. God still has angels sent to help his people and carry out his will on earth. But my friends, we are to be angels too. Yeah, he still has those angels. But we are to be angels. We are to be messengers. You say, Brother Garrett, you just said that people don't become angels. No. But remember, that word angel means messenger. And even as those angels are messengers of God, you and I are to be angels, messengers of God. And remember what the angels at Christmas did? They encouraged, they informed, they instructed. We got to do the same thing. We need to encourage others as messengers of God. We need to encourage others. The word the Bible uses, edify. We need to edify one another. And I will tell you, the greatest encouragement is to be informed about what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of all who would believe. He was buried. And the third day, he rose again from the dead. There is no greater encouragement than to be informed that God himself died in your place. That's the gospel. When we tell people that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. And the word gospel means good news. And when people share the gospel, that's called evangelism. Take a look at the word evangelism again. Look what's right in the middle. Angel. Yes, God has his angels, but we are also to be angels, messengers of God, encouraging others, informing others. What do we inform them? Well, how about this time of year, inform them the true meaning of Christmas. It's not about the lights. It's not about the presents. It's not about the music. We love all that. That's not what Christmas is. Christmas is about Christ. And we need to inform people the reason for Christmas. Do you know what the reason for Christmas is? Easter. Easter is the reason for Christmas. I said 2 weeks ago, if there were no Easter, Christmas would be interesting but irrelevant. It would have no effect on us. If just a baby were born and that was it, then it would be irrelevant. But the baby was born. Then he grew up to die, be buried, and rise again. That's not irrelevant. That is absolutely centrally important. There's a hymn that we don't sing around here. And I'm not going to sing it for you. But I want to read it to you. It's called Christmas Has Its Cradle. Listen to this. Christmas has its cradle where a baby cried. Did the lantern shadow show him crucified? Did he foresee darkly his life's willing loss? Christmas has its cradle, and Easter has its cross. Christmas has its cradle, shepherds came to see. Little son of Mary, Lamb of God to be. Had his father warned him, none would grant him room. save in the Christmas cradle and in the Easter tomb. Christmas has its cradle. Wise men came to bring myrrh and gold and incense, offerings for a king. Myrrh alone stayed with him, death's balm for this boy, from the Christmas cradle and to his Easter joy. Christmas has its cradle where that baby cried. In the Easter garden, Christ lay crucified. When death's power was conquered, God's life through him poured. Christmas has its cradle, and Easter has its Lord. You see, the real reason for Christmas is Easter. If you just stop at Christmas, that's only half the story. You need, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, and that's Easter. So we are to encourage others. That's what angels do. We are to inform others. That's what angels do. And we are to instruct others. That's what angels do. In what do we instruct them? Well, some of Jesus' last words to his church, known as the Great Commissioner here in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 19. Go ye therefore, and watch this word, and teach. That's instruction. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Watch it. Here it is again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded unto you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We are to instruct others. We are to teach others the truth of God's message. So we are to be angels. But that's not where it stops either. We can also send angels around the world. And a Southern Baptist that really hits home to us when we think about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Because there are places that you and I, let's be honest, we'll probably never go. Zimbabwe, Russia, Brazil, whatever, just you could name any number of countries. But by collecting our funds as Southern Baptists during the Christmas season, we are literally sending missionaries, thousands of missionaries all around the world. But for the purpose of today's message, they're not missionaries, they're angels. They're messengers of God. And we are sending them out to encourage. We are sending them out to inform. And we are sending them out to instruct in the things of God, that men and women, boys and girls, can become believers in Jesus Christ just like we are. So we need to be angels. But we need to send angels. Now, our goal for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $5,000. I looked at the bulletin, just like you probably did, and we've raised one-fifth of that, just about a grand. Now, I know we're not to Christmas yet. We got all December to do it. But seriously, ask God how he would have you and your family participate financially in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Because we need more angels. And the angels we already have, we need them to be well supplied with resources. To go to places, some cases we've never even heard of, where they can encourage, inform, and instruct. And so as we look at the angels of Christmas, maybe you always just thought, well, there was one or two. Yeah, there was four angels, in particular, Zechariah's angel, Joseph's angel, Mary's angel, and, of course, the shepherd's angel. And then the shepherds got, like, they got, you know, the whole band then after the angel did his thing, bunch of angels. But in each case, they did the same thing. They encouraged, they informed, they instructed. Let us be angels this Christmas season, doing the same thing those Christmas angels did of long ago. And let's be careful to support angels that will go around the world to encourage, to inform, and to instruct. But as I mentioned before, the most encouraging thing that can happen to you in life is to learn that God himself died on the cross in your place, was buried and rose again the third day. And why that's so encouraging is when you believe that and you receive that for yourself, God takes your sins away and he grants you eternal life. It's the only way to have your sins forgiven. It's the only way to have eternal life.